Our reading this morning is by Henry Freeman, and it's in this book. It's called Unlacing the Heart, Connecting with What Really Matters. This story takes place in the 1990s in El Salvador, when the war was in the midst of a civil war. The country was in the midst of a civil war. One day, in a small rural village, Sister Margaret found herself sitting alone with an hour to spare as she waited to assist with the training of several foot doctors from the community. Being Sister Margaret, she became engaged in playful conversation with some of the children and their mothers as they passed by. When one of the mothers asked what she was doing, Sister Margaret spontaneously announced that she was there to hear confessions of good deeds. She went on to explain that she was a Franciscan nun who found great joy in hearing people say good things about themselves. In her words, "If you need to confess your sins, go to your priest. I'm here to hear confessions of good deeds. Tell me something good you have done with your life." Soon, with a mother's urging, a young, shy boy came forward and confessed that every morning he helped his father pick the beans that they then sold to feed their family. He went on to explain that he was very good at picking beans, faster than many boys twice his age. After confirming the good deeds of her son, this proud mother then brought forward her daughter, who exclaimed with great pride that she was only 6, but she already knew how to make tortillas. As people learned about Sister Margaret's desire to hear their confessions of good deeds, a small line soon formed. One by one, women and children waited their turn to share something that they were proud of about themselves, some small way in which they found meaning in their lives, their role in their family, their life as part of their community. The line soon brought the attention of 2 soldiers who up to that point had watched from a distance. As they grew more curious, the soldiers, both of whom were young men in their late teens or maybe early 20s, approached Sister Margaret and asked what she was doing. When she explained that she was hearing confessions of good deeds, one of the soldiers laughed at what he clearly viewed to be a silly old woman. He walked away. As Sister Margaret listened to the next person in line, she noticed that that other soldier stood about 15 feet away, watching her silently and very intently. In his eyes, she saw the spark of a person who had something to say, perhaps something to share. After several minutes, Sister Margaret motioned to the soldier with her hand, invited him to come over. Reluctantly, the young man walked over and stood beside her. Sister Margaret smiled and asked him to share with her a good deed, something about yourself that you are proud of, something you feel good about. With a sheepish smile, the young soldier confessed that he had nothing good to say about himself. When Sister Margaret's eyes told him that we all have something that is good within us, he stood still and seemed to search thoughtfully for a few words to share. After a moment, he leaned in close so that he could tell her something that he did not want anyone else to hear. "I have never intentionally hurt anyone," he whispered. Sister Margaret reached out, touched his hand, and thanked him for his confession. And after a few silent moments, the soldier walked away. Now, I don't know about you, but lately, when I look at the news or my social media feed or the paper or anything, I just feel completely inundated with the tragic, painful, scary, and dramatic realities of our day. Political scandals, war, mass incarceration, kidnapping, climate crisis, teenagers trying to get our adult attention because the world is literally burning and drowning and we're not sure what to do about it. Now, admittedly, as the mother of a toddler and a baby who works full-time outside of the home, I don't have a lot of time to absorb the news, and that's probably a good thing. So I read the magazine The Week. If you don't know about The Week, it's sort of a digest periodical that comes in the mail every week. It takes all of the major news stories from around the country and around the world, and it gives both the facts and the editorials on both sides of the political aisle. But even reading The Week, which is a digest, can feel overwhelming. Luckily, there's a little section in the magazine, about half a page. It's called, "It Wasn't All Bad." And I've taken to reading that section both at the beginning and the end of my reading, bookending my reading of all the bad in the world with just a little bit of good I've found can be healing. The reading that I just shared with about Sister Margaret stood out to me as a powerful reminder of our collective need that we have as human beings to hear and to share good news. Sister Margaret was a Franciscan nun serving in El Salvador during a violent civil war. There was a lot of fear and anger and hatred during that time. Sister Margaret was just a nun. Her job was to train local foot doctors, or locals, usually women, in villages to improve sanitation and health practices because health care was so limited during the war, resulting in so much poverty. Her spontaneous call to hear confessions of good deeds made me smile the first time I read it. "If you want to confess your sins, go to a priest. I'm here to hear confessions of good deeds." I can just imagine this little old nun in the middle of a village. Some of the deeds that were confessed to her were seemingly small, but each one was important to the confessor and powerful in bringing about a little joy to a devastating situation. The confession of the young soldier is the climax of the story. He believed that he had nothing good to say about himself, but Sister Margaret refused to allow him to claim that about himself. She didn't believe it, and she wouldn't let him believe it either. His confession that he had never intentionally hurt anyone, a soldier in the midst of a violent war, was both heartbreaking and deeply powerful. It was Sister Margaret's steadfast insistence that he had something to confess was her act of healing. This year, we are focusing on the theme of healing and wholeness here at the Fellowship. We will be exploring lots of different ways to find and create healing, beauty, and joy amidst the difficulties and pains of life, both those that are inevitable and those that inundate us from the world. So far, the last few weeks, we've been looking at the metaphor of broken pottery, broken pots. And I want to continue that metaphor of mending the broken pots today. In our world, in so many ways, tries to break us, both physically and spiritually, through war, poverty, oppression, illness, trauma, and the constant barrage of messages from our capitalist society that tells us that we are not enough. But our fellowship is a place where we come to seek refuge from those messages, where we can seek and co-create healing and joy, where we create wholeness, love, and connection through our act of creating community. One of the things that I'm really committed to as your minister is helping us find both power and purpose in our Unitarian Universalist identity. We are not simply a group of nice people, nor are we just a cool place to gather sometimes, though we are, hopefully, both of those things too. Deeper than that, though, we are a fellowship that has been part of the Unitarian tradition since 1957 and part of the Unitarian Universalist Association since the association's founding in 1961. We call ourselves the Fellowship because our real name is really long. We are the Fox Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We have a particular identity in the midst of the liberal religious landscape. We have commitments and messages that we hold as part of our core values that we strive to create into reality, not just in our minds and our words. These commitments and messages are articulated most broadly in our seven principles. If you're not familiar with the Unitarian Universalist seven principles, they're on the inside of the big gray hymnal. You can look at them there. But our principles, which have existed since the 80s, are intentionally broad. They are intended to be interpreted and reinterpreted throughout time and in different contexts. We are invited by our larger Unitarian Universalist tradition to find new ways to live these principles in our lives amid the particularities of our communities over and over again in new ways as we feel called. It's not enough to simply see or say the principles. We are asked to figure out how to live them today in 2019 in Appleton, Wisconsin. One of the things that I've heard from some of you is that you come here to this fellowship for spirituality, not politics. And I wish to just spend a moment on that idea, because I've sat with this feedback for months now, and it's certainly not feedback that I've gotten from everyone, but I've gotten it from a number of people, and I take feedback seriously. I honor it. This is one of the reasons that we chose this particular theme, healing and wholeness, as a starting place this year for deep reflection, comfort, joy, and love amid the harsh realities of our world. I know that you are all well-informed people. You know there's bad stuff going on in the world. You don't need to be reminded of it here for information's sake. But this question of spirituality as separated from the concerns of the world troubles me. Our principles and our tradition call us to create a community that is filled with love, hope, fairness, and justice. Our principles and our heritage call us to continue mending the broken places, both within ourselves and in our world. This fellowship can be a refuge, but refuge is where we seek to recharge, to then go back out into the world, not to hide from the world. We seek to create a community here at the fellowship that is loving and inclusive, healing for everyone who walks through our doors. But seeking that for ourselves and not extending it to others beyond our walls, that's called hoarding. And we don't want to hoard the gifts that we cultivate here. We want to share them. Ours is a tradition that proclaims the gifts of love and inclusion and hope for everyone, not just a few people who are lucky enough to find us. Proclaiming that everyone deserves safety, fairness, peace, and our basic needs being met, that's not political. That is deeply, powerfully spiritual. And these proclamations can be grounded in a sense of wonder, love, and joy. Like mending the broken pot with the Japanese kintsugi art of mending the pots with gold, this can be an act of art. It can be an act of beauty. It doesn't have to be a downer. One of the gifts that we find here in this place is our first principle. It's the message that Sister Margaret shared with the young soldier in El Salvador, that we all have good within us. Our first principle states that as Unitarian Universalists, we affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Our Universalist ancestors back in the 1800s would have called it maybe something like original blessing. They were actively rejecting the idea of original sin, the idea of fundamental brokenness. And they taught us of our original blessing, of our fundamental goodness. And we carry their legacy with us today, that all people have inherent worth. This is not a Pollyanna, trite view of reality. Human beings can be awful. Our world can be awful. But fundamentally, at our core, our faith teaches us something powerful. That you are enough, that you are whole, and that you are good. No matter what you have done, no matter what the world has done to you, you are enough, you are whole, and you are good. Sit with that for a moment. Breathe it into your belly. Do you believe it? Now, imagine in your mind's eye the person or people that you struggle with the most. Maybe it's a family member or an ex-partner or a politician, theoretically. Completely theoretically. Our faith teaches something really powerful about them too, and it's really hard. They also are enough. They are whole, and they are good at their core. Now, this does not excuse their actions. This does not let them off the hook for harm that they've caused. Unitarian Universalism is not a faith without consequences. You don't have to like this person. You don't have to engage with them. You don't have to be in relationship with them. But still, at their core, by virtue of their birth, they have worth. That is what our principle says. Sit with that one for a moment. Do you believe it? I often say that our first principle is the one that requires faith. The other ones we can observe in reality a little more easily, but the first principle requires that we affirm and promote it even when we can't see it. Like Sister Margaret, we can gaze insistently into our own hearts or into the world and insist that there is good there, even if it's hard to find. And so as we proceed into this year together of healing and wholeness, we are going to ground ourselves in this truth that our faith tells us, that there is goodness within us and within the world, and that we will seek to find it as a spiritual practice. We will find it, and we will celebrate it, and we will proclaim it over and over again. It's not all bad, says the magazine The Week, and it's not. Our brains, though, are evolutionarily predisposed to pay more attention to the bad stuff than the good stuff. I know that it's far easier for me to focus on that one piece of criticism that I got than the 10 pieces of praise. Anyone else with me on that? Yeah. Or focusing on that one tragic action rather than the hundreds of helping hands that show up to the tragedy. All sorts of neuroscience research has confirmed this bias in our brains. It's easier for us to remember and to focus on the bad stuff because from an evolutionary perspective, that's what kept us safe. But it also can make us miserable, especially in this world where we were constantly barraged by the news that confirms our negative bias that everything is terrible. It's a spiritual practice to turn our attention toward the life-giving, the healing, and the hopeful, and the loving in life. It's also a spiritual practice for us to try to bring that healing, hope, and love into the world through our words and our actions, to give more compliments, to share more good stories, to praise people with gusto, to tell others that you love them. If I haven't told you lately, I love you. Me, you, I love you. The other evening, I was leaving the office, I was driving home, and on the way, I passed by a nearby church that I pass every time I drive home. They have a little marquee out front, and sometimes it says things that I might disagree with theologically, but it's not usually too outrageous or scary. But that evening, there was a man standing out there by the marquee with a little poster board sign with marker words on it. I don't have any idea who that man was. But his sign read, "Sin is death. Repent." Yikes, I thought. It's kind of harsh. From his perspective, I imagine his sign, he thought, was effective, trying to scare us into life, whatever that meant from his religious perspective. But it got me thinking, what if we stood outside on the berm facing Calumet Street on Friday night during rush hour, like once a month? What would our signs say? I amused myself thinking of the signs we could make. There's nothing to be afraid of. We love you just as you are. You're a good person. Hell doesn't exist. You are beautiful. We could agree to disagree. These are all such fun ideas. Any other ones? Any other ideas? You are enough. Anything else? Life is beautiful. You are welcome here. You're not guilty. See? Science is real. Yeah. Right. These are cool. I mean, I could go all day. It's really fun. I mean, I'm kind of kidding about the poster board thing, but kind of not. Anybody want to join me? If that guy could stand out there with his scary poster board message, why can't we stand out there with messages of hope and love? It's true that the world is a mess. It's true that the climate crisis is real. Science is real. War continues to ravage our world. Poverty is claiming lives. Racism, misogyny, transphobia, and many other oppressions are resulting in fear and violence and unequal opportunities for people in our own community and beyond. These things are true, and it would be a trite an irresponsible height of privilege to pretend that they aren't true. But the broken pot isn't mended by focusing on the brokenness, or worse, for beating ourselves up. It's mended by picking up the pieces and acknowledging the ways that we are needed to do the hard work of mending. Our world is not mended by ignoring the brokenness. It's mended by bringing the pieces together through both the art and joy of connecting them with something good, something beautiful, something to bring about wholeness, even if the broken places might still then be visible. We are mended and we help mend our world when we look deeply into our own eyes or the eyes of the world and we refuse to accept the answer that there is nothing good to say. We are mended and we help heal our world when we fill the broken places with our love, our connections, pulling each other closer, not pushing each other away. When we speak uplifting words to each other, when we focus on the helpers and the healers, when we give of our time, energy, and resources to support the good in the world. We are mended and we help mend our world when we celebrate and we laugh together. We are mended when we sing and we dance. We should proclaim our good deeds because they matter and they help turn our attention to the good in both ourselves and in the world. The weight and the brokenness of the world insists that we cannot and should not sing and dance. We should. We should eat and share drinks and joke with each other, and play with little children, and give each other rides to places, borrow an egg from our neighbors, that we should have parties, create artwork together, and hug. We should do the counter-cultural acts of resistance that are creating community. We are needed in the work of creating wholeness and healing in our world, friends. Our faith tells us so, and we have so much that we can offer. May it be so. Amen.